This is the Business Breakfast with Owanda on Jazz FM. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Greg Earlham, not in the studio this morning, but self-isolating at home until he has to go into work because that's your essential journey. Where now, do you think?
I mean, it's really hard to say. So we've seen a little bit of a bounce in Asia overnight. That seems to have been triggered by the promise of some stimulus measures over in the US. But it feels in a way like a bit of a dead cat bounce. I feel like the market sentiment is extraordinarily fragile at this moment in time, and it won't take very much to trigger another plunge. Maybe not to quite to the extent that we saw yesterday, but I mean, let's look back a few days ago, and we thought last week was potentially as bad a week as we could hope for, or the week before was as bad a week as we could hope for. So it's really difficult to say in these extremely fragile markets.
You're not seeing what somebody described this morning as a thin semblance of sanity in Asia.
No, not necessarily, because we have to remember that what's being proposed right now and the way this is being handled, which everyone's just using the information that they have to hand. What we are seeing in the background, though, is a continuing rise in the number of cases, a continuing rise in the number of fatalities. In certain countries like Italy, we're now seeing quarantine efforts around the country rather than just in specific areas. This hasn't fully reached other countries yet, where we are likely to see similar measures being enacted potentially over the next couple of weeks. And therefore, it's extremely difficult to say just how bad it's going to get at this moment in time, or if containment efforts are going to be sufficient. If in 2 weeks' time we're sitting here and we haven't seen similar measures being enacted in the US, the UK, France, Germany, and others, then you could sit there and say, do you know what, maybe these containment efforts are working and investors will start feeling a little bit more confident. But until then, like I say, in this fragile environment where nerves are being tested, these kind of wild shock days are likely to happen. We will probably see some bounce back days as well, where we see some big gains and people start talk about this kind of V-shaped recovery, the return of sentiment in the markets. I think that's very fragile.
Yeah, on the subject of gains, I mean, we should note, shouldn't we, that US Treasury yield has gone up very slightly, which means that the price is down very slightly, which means that I suppose that investors are slightly shying back from safe havens, but not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we're coming from a very low base. This is the kind of dead cat bounce scenario that we talk about. Yep. When yields dropped to 0.35% on the 10-year, this was a record low. And by some distance, where a couple of weeks ago, these yields were 1.5%, and they were already quite close to these record low levels. So when we're talking about those levels, we're talking about kind of German levels here, Japanese levels here. We're not talking about what we traditionally see on US bonds. So when we're seeing a bounce back to kind of 0.7%, this is still extremely low in the US. And what it's effectively still factoring in is potentially a full basis point, a full 1% rate cut at the meeting next week. More quantitative easing, potentially more stimulus measures, and that's just the US Federal Reserve. Around the world, we're expecting similar efforts, as well as fiscal stimulus measures, and these are things that are priced into the markets at these points, not even things that could potentially surprise.
Okay, now let's turn our attention to the oil price, and Saudi taken a big gamble here, haven't they? I mean, yes, we know they can all turn on the taps, yes, we know they don't have the sort of production costs of oil that other people do, but even so, to do what they've done is a big one, isn't it? It's kind of isolated Russia. Let's talk about that. I mean, what room for manoeuvre do the Saudis actually have? How long can they keep this going?
Well, the Saudis can keep it going because effectively the major oil company there, Saudi Aramco, is still almost entirely state run. So they can keep it going for a little amount of time, and there are other things that they can do to in order to cope with the fact that their numbers that's going to go into the treasury is going to be much smaller. It's a gamble from all sides, you can't help but feel, and everyone seems to have their own incentives, and it's really difficult at the moment. We can only really speculate on what it is they want to achieve. The common rhetoric seems to be that the Saudis are willing to take short-term pain in order to effectively bully Russia back to the table. Unfortunately for Saudi Arabia, I saw yesterday, I think it costs around $80 a barrel to pump in Saudi Arabia, and they've got to remember that their currency is still pegged to the US dollar, so they don't have the benefits of being able to weaken their currency in order to boost income that way. In Russia, the Russian ruble has fallen quite considerably, and I believe to pump a barrel of oil there's around $30 to $40, so you could imagine that they could probably take pain for a bit longer. but they do have more private firms. Their apparent ploy, it seems that the general consensus seems to be that what they want to do is they want to use this opportunity to try and punish the US shale industry, which has put OPEC and Russia and other nations under considerable pressure over recent years by being able to pump at lower prices and dramatically increase production at a time when others are having to cut production because of the supply-demand issues that exist there. US shale is still extremely indebted, so if oil prices continue to trade around these kind of $30 barrels for the next 6 months or so, yes, consumers will ultimately feel the benefits of that, but what we could see in the US is a number of shale industries going bust, a lot of consolidation in the sector. So it's a very interesting strategy, this kind of dynamic, this Saudi-Russia-US dynamic that's playing out here, and it seems that Russia's had enough of constantly being told you need to cut production more while watching the US ramping up production, and Saudi Arabia was quite clearly unhappy with Russia's unwillingness to do its part.
There does seem, doesn't there, a spin-off as far as the consumers are concerned from all this, possibly.
A lot has to do with how long oil prices remain at these levels. The shorter time that it remains at these levels, I think the less likely it is that the actual benefit will be passed on to the end consumer, and the more we'll just see it act as a bit of a buffer for the various supermarkets, etc. The positive angle, potentially, I guess, is the fact that I think many people expect these prices to remain low for at least a short amount of time because of what's driving the actual oil price war to begin with. And I think the Saudis, the Russians, and the US shale industry, at least in the for a couple of months, does have deep enough pockets to be able to sustain it if they do have the desire to do so. I think it's primarily a case of desire. But then, like I say, again, as your guest alluded to, you've got the budget coming up where you've got the increase in the fuel duty as well to contend with. I would say I'm not overly optimistic that the end consumer is going to notice a big difference. Yes, maybe 5-10 pence off the price of a litre, which obviously people will be happy with, but to the extent that we've seen the oil price drop, I think it is going to be a small percentage.
Budget tomorrow, can the Chancellor do anything to help, do you think?
I think he can. I think there is going to be some efforts to try and support the economy throughout this period. Probably there's going to be certain things which was going to be announced anyway, which are seen as being supportive for the economy, which can tie into the difficulties that are going to be faced. I think there's going to have to be some see some signs that there is going to be some new measures which is very specific to the situation which is currently unfolding. I think there are going to be a number of measures which are going to be pushed off till later in the year, which may otherwise have been included in the budget tomorrow, but which is seen as being less important at this moment in time. I think one of the big things is going to be any revisions by the OBR to the economy, because we have to remember that because we missed the budget at the back end of last year, it's been around 18 months since we last saw OBR revisions, and so the revisions that we're likely to see to the numbers are likely to be quite considerable, and that will effectively tell us just how much fiscal space the new Chancellor has.
Well, I'm just wondering about those figures though. I mean, they're out of date, aren't they, by the day?
They are out of date by the day, but obviously the more days that there are, the more out of date they become, and it's quite considerable how out of date they are now. And if you think of everything that's happened in the last 18 months as well, that's a lot of catch up.
Okay, a shakeout of some industries. We're seeing that in airlines, aren't we? Virgin apparently flying with many seats empty and so on. That's you'd sort of guess that. Not just airlines. What kind of industries do you think will be shaken out as a result of all this?
Yeah, I mean, the airlines is the most obvious one, and as you just alluded to, the capacity of these airlines is being considerably hit, and you've got a number of airlines who are effectively flying ghost planes just to retain slots, which is extremely worrying from both a cost but also an environment perspective. The oil and gas industry, obviously, it goes without saying, if it costs you $60, $70, $80 to produce oil, a barrel of oil, and you're currently selling at $30, that's extremely concerning. So I think US shale industry in particular is going to see a bit of a shakeout here the longer that this goes on. But you can literally look at industries all over the place to say that there's going to be difficulties, whether you're looking at consumer industries, you look at the drop in the sale of iPhones in China, for example, last month, down more than 50% compared to a year ago. Other parts of the consumer sector are going to be heavily impacted by that. When we look at the high street, for example, not just in the UK, but abroad as well, this is look at any sector which is already undergoing difficulty, and this could be the final nail in the coffin for a number of companies. It is going to be quite, I think, an extraordinary year suddenly for a number of companies who are going to very much lean on government life support. It's going to be a case of just how much life support there's going to be.
Just before you go, tell us what it's like to be heading into an office where you've got no idea what the end of the day is going to be like.
Yeah, it's extremely interesting, but obviously all for the wrong reasons. But the way the market has been for the last 2 weeks, it means that you can have no real... you can't really be confident of where things are going to end up at the end of the day compared to when you walk in at the start of the day. But it obviously gives us plenty to talk about. But like I say, unfortunately, all for the wrong reasons.
Craig Ellam, thank you very much indeed.
The Business Breakfast on Jazz FM with Oanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.